Chapter 11. The Publishing at Paris, Maine. Printed in the Review and Herald, May 16, 1935. Early in November 1850, Elder and Mrs. White were in Paris, Maine. The repeated instruction that had been given them, that the paper was needed by the people, and the many statements from its readers that it had been a great blessing to them, clearly indicated their duty to struggle on with its publication. As they examined conditions in Paris, they saw good reasons for remaining there. Writing to Brother Hastings and his family under date of November 20, 1850, James White said, "We are all well, and there is a good prospect here of doing printing very cheap and well. I have sent you Present Truth number 11, and shall send you Advent Review number 5 tomorrow. I shall enlarge the paper and send it out often. The truth is gaining ground. Praise the Lord." They had found a firm of printers, G. Mellon and Company, who were ready to print for them at a moderate price. At the home of William Andrews, they found a place where they could board at a very low cost. The distance between the home and the printing offices at Rocky Hill and at Centerpoint had been a handicap. Here much time and labor could be saved, for Brother Andrews's house was within two blocks of the printing office and the North Paris post office. The fact that John N. Andrews lived in Paris was another factor that led to their decision to bring the work of publishing there. James White realized his need of editorial assistance, and he saw in John Andrews a promising young man with precious talents. John Andrews had manifested evidences of true conversion and earnestness at the time of the conference held in Paris already mentioned. He showed good ability as a Bible student and gave promise of becoming an able writer. And there were at this time residing in Paris and vicinity three other families, some of whose members were to act a leading part in future years in the upbuilding of the Seventh-day Adventist body. From the Stoll home came Oswald, who for many years was to operate the Washington hand press on which the review was printed. From another Paris family came Calvin Washburn, who would labor as a minister in the Iowa Conference for 32 years, and whose son, J.S. Washburn, was to become a well-known minister both in the homeland and abroad. There was also the Stevens family. The father, Cyprian, would later act an important part in the distribution of tracts and periodicals. Of his children, the son, Charles F. Stevens, would labor as a minister and conference official for a number of years. One daughter, Angeline, was destined to become the wife of Elder J. N. Andrews. Another daughter, Harriet, was to become the wife of Elder Uriah Smith, for many years editor of the Review and Herald, and the mother of Leon A. Smith, for a number of years the editor of the Watchman magazine. In the group of believers in Paris, Maine, the eye of the Eternal saw steadfast souls who would be of service in days to come, and in his providence, James and Ellen White were led to establish their residence among them and develop such confidence and fellowship with them as would stand the test and trial in future years of hardship and privation. Early in November, number 11 of the Present Truth, the last issue of the paper to bear that name, was mailed from Paris. It contained a lengthy article from the pen of Ellen G. White, in which she gave in brief what had been presented to her in vision regarding several important subjects. Among these subjects were prayer for the sick, the seven last plagues, the judgment, and the destruction of the wicked at the end of the thousand years. This number also contained a report from Elder Bates announcing joyfully that Brother E. P. Butler, the father of George I. Butler, for many years president of our General Conference, had accepted the message in its fullness. From November 23 to 25, a general meeting was held in Paris. there were in attendance representatives from Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, and New York. This was an important gathering at which the interests of the cause throughout the field were faithfully considered. Special study was given to the publishing enterprise. Elder White urged that the paper be enlarged and that it be issued more regularly. He was insistent that the responsibility of editing it should no longer rest with one man, but should be in the hands of a strong committee. In harmony with this, Joseph Bates, Samuel W. Rhodes, and John N. Andrews were associated with James White as a publishing committee. The financial responsibility of the enterprise was, however, left with him, contrary to his desires, because no one could be found to share the burden. When the next number of the paper made its appearance, it was a larger sheet and bore a new name, the Second Advent Review and Sabbath Herald. Not only in name, but also in fact, it now combined the mission of the Present Truth and the Advent Review. Its 8 pages contained a fourth more reading matter than the Present Truth. Like its predecessors, it was to be sent free to those who desired it. The first number carried this note regarding finance. Terms, gratis, except the reader desires to aid in its publication. From the latter part of November 1850 until June 9, 1851, 13 numbers of the Second Advent Review and Sabbath Herald were published in Paris. The paper steadily grew dearer and dearer to the Sabbath and Advent believers throughout the field. Yet the donations for its support were scanty. During their residence in Paris, Elder and Mrs. White labored so earnestly and energetically in their efforts to economize in behalf of the paper that they would soon have gone into the grave had not God intervened to save them. Moreover, their intense interest for the progress of the cause in eastern Maine and other places led them to lend their horse and buggy to Elders Rhodes and Andrews. After the horse had gone, they received a call to attend a general meeting in Waterbury, Vermont. They decided to go, and for this cross-country journey of about 160 miles, they should have had the use of their horse and buggy. But these were now far away, and they ventured on the journey depending partly on railway trains and partly on borrowed conveyance. Unfortunately, they had lent their buffalo robe to another brother, and in one of their trips they rode many hours in midwinter without proper covering. This and other acts of exposure brought on very severe lung trouble, which seriously affected them for years. Returning to Paris, they again, in their intense desire to economize, that the paper might cost as little as possible, lived on a meager diet. This, with confining labor and anxiety, resulted in severe indigestion, which, combined with lung trouble, brought them to the brink of the grave. Regarding the results of their extreme and unwise efforts for economy, which came very near wrecking the work that was dearer to them than their lives, Ellen White wrote at a later time as follows. My husband was borne down with care and suffering from severe colds which had settled on his lungs. He sunk beneath his trials. He was so weak he could not get to the printing office without staggering. Our faith was tried to the uttermost. We had willingly endured privation, toil, and suffering, yet but few seemed to appreciate our efforts when it was even for their good we had suffered. We were too much troubled to sleep or rest. The hours in which we should have been refreshed with sleep were often spent in answering long communications occasioned by the leaven of envy which commenced to work in Vermont. And many hours while others were sleeping, we spent in agonizing tears and mourning before the Lord. At length my husband said, Ellen, it is no use. These things are crushing me and will carry me to the grave. I cannot go any farther. I have written a note for the paper stating that I shall publish no more. As he stepped out of the door to carry it to the printing office, I fainted. He came back and prayed for me, and his prayer was answered, and I was relieved. The next morning, while at family prayer, I was taken off in vision and was shown concerning the matter. I saw that my husband must not give up the paper, for such a step was just what Satan was trying to drive him to take, and he was working through agents to do this. But he must continue to publish, and the Lord would sustain him. This was the sixth time instruction was given to Ellen White that it was the duty of her husband to publish and send forth to the people the truths entrusted to them. Let us review these experiences. Number one, in November 1848, Ellen White was given a view of the proclamation of the sealing message and the duty of the brethren to publish the light that was shining upon our pathway. Then she said to her husband, "I have a message for you. You must begin to print a little paper and send it out to the people." Number two, 8 months later in July, after he had tried in various places to get financial help for the printing of the paper and had failed, and after he had decided to go into the hayfield and mow to earn money with which to publish the paper, it was shown to his wife in vision that it was not the will of God that he should enter the hayfield, but that he must write, 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 and walk out by faith. Number three, 5 months later, January 9, 1850, after he had issued six numbers of the paper, and because of lack of sympathy and support had become greatly discouraged, and word came to him through a vision, "I saw the paper and that it was needed. I saw that God did not want James to stop yet, but he must write, 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 and speed the message." Number four, 2 days later, on January 11, 1850, another vision was given in which Ellen White was shown that her husband must write the truth and speed the third angel's message. Number five, in July 1850, instruction came that James White must publish the testimonies of those who had acknowledged the work done and the Advent movement to be of God after 1844. Number six. And finally, 1 year later, July 1851, in Paris, Maine, when Elder White, weak and worn and thoroughly discouraged, wrote a note for the paper saying that he would publish no more. His wife fainted and he delayed action. The next morning, she was shown that he must not give up the paper, for such a step was just what Satan was trying to drive him to take. From this time forward, his determination to continue publishing was steadfast, and he labored diligently to secure helpers to assist in the several branches of the work.